right, and welcome to the Aging Well Together show. Today's show is all about my favorite topic, food, and how to support older adults and healthy nutrition. I'm excited for all the information we'll learn together. But before we dive into our show topic, I want to give a shout out to WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The show is also available to stream anytime on WCOMFM.org and through streaming services including TuneIn Radio and Radio Garden. So many thanks for listening to us in any way we're coming to you. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful team from the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information on today's topic or any issues we discuss, or even to suggest a topic, and the emails have been coming in with new suggestions, you can email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, or please connect with the Orange County Department on Aging. They can be reached at 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. And speaking of the great folks at the Orange County Department on Aging, if you're looking for something super fun and musical to do on Wednesday nights in August, please head over to the Seymour Center on Homestead Road for their outdoor concert series, Wind Down Wednesday. It's every Wednesday night in August, so we've got a few more Wednesdays left. And if you're hearing an encore episode, apologies if it's no longer August. But head down there. It's August, the next few August on Wednesday nights from 6 to 8. It's featuring local musicians. I went, and it's just wonderful. Great, great time, great music. And speaking of great music, a shout out to the wonderful Carborough bass band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their original song, Mayfly, for our opening and closing theme music. You heard it for just a few moments, and you'll hear a lot more of it at the end of the show. And so before turning it over to our guests who are very patiently sitting there waiting for me to stop talking, I will say I am your host, Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services, and I continue to work with older adults and their families to help them connect with supportive resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 52, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I'm super invested in how we are all aging well together, and maybe given today's show topic, how we are eating well together. And I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, wellness instructor extraordinaire at the Senior Centers, and an all-around fabulous friend and super curious co-host. So together, we're curious to learn more about our guests. Welcome, Alicia.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I always say that, and I'm welcoming her, to welcome her back to be with me, and also to give her a hard time about putting the microphone closer to her, because she
loves it.
I do love giving you a hard time, but so there we go. And now, to turn to our fabulous guests, we are joined today with Rachel Sobel-Bierman, the Executive Director of Meals on Wheels Orange County, and Amanda Holliday, who has lots of titles, Clinical Associate Professor at UNC's Gilling School of Global Public Health and UNC School of Medicine. She's also Program Director for the Master's Program in Nutrition and Dietetics Program, a Nutrition Coalition Faculty Advisor, and she has a title that I'm so curious about, and I'm going to ask her about that, so I'm warning you now, Amanda. She is CJ Cupboard's Faculty Leader. So first, welcome Rachel and welcome Amanda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you here. And listeners, I wish you could see us, except for we're all cozy, because I decided, as I often like to do, Rachel and I are matching. We're both wearing our Meals on Wheels Orange County t-shirts. I'm also
We didn't get the memo.
We didn't. We are wearing tons of blue, though.
Oh, that's true. It's like the Meals on Wheels swag outfits versus the very fabulous blues. Welcome, guests. I know we're going to dive all into food security and older adults and nutrition, but I always like to just take a moment to welcome and have you each just share a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what brought you into this work. So, Rachel, I'm looking at you. I'll start with you.
I have lived in this community, I think, for about 27 years now. I came from up north and various places, actually a little bit down south, and then back up north, and then back down south again, and a little traveling in Southeast Asia somewhere in there as well. But when I came back to this community, I was involved in nonprofit work, either as a professional or a volunteer, since I have lived here. And in the past 5 years, thank you, Heather's adjusting my microphone.
Go ahead.
For the past 5 years, I've served as executive director of Meals on Wheels Orange County, NC. And it was a great synergy for me of a time in my life when I was looking to get invested and do direct service work in the community, and actually brought me back full circle, because my first volunteer job was as a middle school and high school student working with older adults in nursing homes. So I really came back to where I started.
Well, you and I have a lot in common, both of us spending our teenage years in nursing homes. And a point of personal sharing, oversharing. It's funny, you came here 27 years ago, because this month I came here 26 years ago, and Rachel was one of my first friends. So besides being a colleague, maybe more importantly than being a colleague, she's a very close friend, and you literally have been feeding me for 26 years. I shouldn't put this on air. She's a really great cook. She has been part of my, we've been aging well together. We got married similar times, about a year apart. We've had our babies around similar times. So we are aging. We've gone silver together. I know, Amanda and Alicia are like, let us in on this.
We have on blue.
We do have on blue.
All right, well, there, we're all together. And Amanda, you and I go way back as well. We don't see each other as much, but it's been over 10. I've just been sort of part of your fan club, because I've just known about all your cool work. And just tell our listeners a little bit about how you got into this work.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from North Carolina, born and raised in Raleigh, and I'm an only child, and spent a lot of time visiting grandparents, both in Pasquotank County and in Davidson County. Mm-hmm. And they were very critical to who I have grown up to be, and always knew I wanted to do something with nutrition. One grandmother was had her own farm, and then the other grandma was working in cooperative extension and as a science teacher. And went to UNCG in nutrition. So sort of nutrition and agriculture and food has been center to life for a long time. And knew I wanted to merge the two together, and majored in both nutrition and in gerontology. Mm-hmm. And left North Carolina to go to graduate school in Chicago, which was great.
Colder,
much colder. and nice, because it gave me an opportunity to volunteer with aging services there to do some consulting with all the little congregate meal programs around all the ethnic communities and cities within Chicago. So being someone that's grown up mostly on Southern food, it was nice to experience a lot of different foods. And then came back and to Eastern North Carolina, and then on to the university. And so just continued the love of, just like you two, volunteered in nursing homes when I was a teenager.
Yeah, it is amazing, those foundational mm-hmm. experiences we have with older adults, whether they are in our families and then as professionals, and then realizing, hey, there's really rewarding careers.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep the microphone on. Well, not that I'm going to turn it off, but I'm going to keep the focus on you, Amanda, because I want to talk just more in general about, well, no, more specifically about older adults and nutrition. And in your program, what do you teach your students, and how do you want that incorporated in the curriculum? There's a few questions in there, but basically, how is older adult nutrition different than younger than, say, 65? And how are you kind of waving the flag of making sure that's a part of the curriculum?
Well, at the Gilling School of Global Public Health here at UNC Chapel Hill, I am the program director of the Master's in Public Health, Nutrition, and Dietetics program. So we admit about 40 students a year. It's a two-year graduate program. And they'll go on to be registered dietitians that will be credentialed to work anywhere in the U.S. and in the world. Mm. And as someone who's very passionate about older adults, it's important that we include not only all parts of the life cycle, but particularly older adult nutrition in the curriculum. So we incorporate that throughout the courses that they take from the very first semester to learn how is infant nutrition and adolescent nutrition and adult nutrition different from elder nutrition. Mm-hmm. And we start by taking a look around the world at what is, how are elders nourished in all different countries. And then we think a little bit about healthcare. But to answer your question, we incorporate case studies, examples, and internships for all of our students with older adults, so they get real-world hands-on experience. The difference, I would say, is I think when we're older, some of the key things we want our students to remember is every bite matters, right? Mm-hmm. We want to pack as much nutrition into every bite. Mm-hmm. And that we maybe didn't think about it as much when we were younger, but timing and eating regularly, thinking about protein and all those micronutrients that are important to our bones and our muscles, we want to remember as we choose foods. And then, of course, you know, getting enough so that we're not going to become malnourished and mm-hmm. sets us up for more issues like falling or negative health outcomes that we wouldn't want for anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've noticed that both with my own family members as well as when I used to work and be surrounded by folks eating, that sometimes people aren't as hungry
right.
as they're getting older. And so I love this concept that every bite matters. So if mm-hmm. less food overall is going in, making sure that it's kind of filled with all the things that are helpful. And then I'm assuming hydration.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also,
yeah.
My dad and I actually videotaped this really fun conversation. Dad's been on the show, and Alicia and Dad are old friends now. That whether wine constitutes as liquid, and we have a very, you know, that's hydration. And I was like, well, but it's still dehydrating. And we have this really funny conversation where we're reading articles about how much alcohol does or does not count as hydration. So there's my little aside. So how do you educate your students in making that every sip counts and every bite counts?
Well, I think it, as far as hydration goes, I echo you that it's important. And it's interesting because a small amount of alcohol can help drive appetite. So as our appetite dwindles, alcohol is one, not the only strategy that we could use to encourage a little bit of appetite.
I see that, yes.
I agree. We do think about hydration and having, as you're sipping your water bottle, having your hydration present and not keeping it out of reach and not keeping it as something you only have to do at mealtime. That's something we think mm-hmm. about all day long.
Though, full disclosure, this is tea. This is caffeinated tea, which is also a little bit dehydrating. So
we know what's in there.
Just so you know, the tenor of this radio show when Alicia's on, since Alicia's a fitness instructor, her goal, besides getting everyone else's moving, is literally to get me moving. And
she hasn't come yet to class.
Yeah, I'm a little sedentary. So Alicia tries to get me to be more physically active, and then you and I will work offline.
Please help.
Having me drink and eat healthier. Rachel can only feed me so much. But
it's a start.
So in terms of, do you receive a lot of interest from the students? Like, do you have to, I know when I'm doing instructor work, I have to wave the flag, care about older adults, try to make it sexy and fun for them to want to go into geriatrics and elder issues. So are you finding you have to really push them or pull them, maybe it's pull them into nutrition issues and older adults, or are they already coming and you're just filling them up with knowledge?
Well, it helps if they've had an older adult in their family mm-hmm. or if they know an older adult, of course, right? That they, and the thing I always remind everyone is every single one of us is going to get old.
Yes. We were hopefully. That is our goal.
Right.
Our goal is to be aging.
We were all babies, and we were all adolescents.
And now I'm 64.
Right, exactly. And we're all going to be there. So don't think you're immune from it, or it's not going to happen to you. And that's oftentimes okay. And you, if you're fortunate enough to have both your parents, they're going to age. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I have found that students over time have become more and more interested because they also are aware of the increasing numbers of older adults. Mm-hmm. And if we're thinking about job security, it's an area that they're more likely to work in.
Exactly.
All right, so I have more questions that I'm going to be asking you about, and Alicia will too, but I think what we're talking about then, I'm gonna stick with the theme, every bite counts. For those in our community where it's harder to have food because they're at home or they can't afford it or a combination of both, I'm gonna turn it over to my friend Rachel to share, in a real practice sense, how are you helping feed our community? It's lofty.
That is a very lofty.
Tell us about Meals on Wheels,
friend. I'd love to tell you about Meals on Wheels. So our goal at Meals on Wheels is to enable access for older adults across Orange County to be able to access nutritious food. So the way we determine that is we serve older adults, homebound adults, mm-hmm. older adults with disabilities, and or those convalescing. So it can also be for short term if you've come out of the hospital and need support just for mm-hmm. a short period of time. We can also be there to serve you. And then the way we define it is older adults who don't have access to or the ability to prepare healthy meals. So that's a very broad spectrum.
Yes.
And our goals at Meals on Wheels Orange County is that we really focus on the individual. So older adults are referred to us, or people can self-refer. You can come to us through any system, whether it be a medical system, social services, or friend, neighbor, community member, or yourself. And we go through some basic questions to ensure you're eligible, which is really your age. We're looking for older adults who are 60 and older mm-hmm. and who meet that other standard, who don't have the ability to or don't have access. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I want to add is also about the healthy food part. People have access to food, but they might not have access to yes. healthy food. So there's a difference in there that we like to qualify. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, since this is also being sponsored through the Department on Aging,
yes, it is.
Is that our goal is to really serve those who don't have access to services somewhere else. Mm-hmm. We are very lucky in Orange County that our Department on Aging offers amazing services. If you are going to age in North Carolina, you want to do it in Orange County.
That's right.
It's why our life expectancy is yes. right up the other counties.
Right.
It's a weird distinction, but we're living longer here in this county.
We are. There's incredible services. There's great senior centers that offer programming, and they also offer, I'm mentioning this because they also offer congregate meal programs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if you have the ability to get to a congregate meal program, that is also our preference, because if you're in a congregate meal program, you are not alone and you are not isolated. You
yes.
are with peers, you are enjoying healthy food, and you are a part of the community. Mm-hmm. But there are older adults in Orange County who don't have that ability. And so that's what Meals on Wheels is here for, to be able to service those individuals.
And then, is there a cost for the program?
So we have a sliding scale, mm-hmm. which we like to call a very steep slope. And that is based on your monthly income. Mm-hmm. And we do an intake process that lasts anywhere from 45 to 90 minutes, where we go into the home and have a direct conversation with the recipient and a family member, if they wish to be present. And we talk through their general health and well-being, their dietary needs, their physical needs. Mm-hmm. There might be other needs that they have for older adults that we can't meet, but we will serve as sort of a client services coordinator to try to be able to connect them to those services.
Amazing.
So we can serve as their input or connection to the broader community if they don't already have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we determine if they have a financial need.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your financial need or your financial situation is not a measure of eligibility for the program. You can be financially stable and not have access to or the ability to prepare healthy food.
Yes.
And you can be financially insecure and have those same needs. So that is not a determinant. It's only a determinant, essentially, of the sliding scale that we offer.
So then I'm sure it's... I'll let you do a little shout out. This is a leading question. So I'm sure you must get, you must then function on subsidies or grants from other people or donations.
Thank you. I will take that softball and run
with
it.
I just hit that to you.
The majority of our recipients, 75%, so the vast majority of our recipients pay either zero or less than 50 cents a meal.
Hmm.
And
wow.
Our job as an organization and as a small nonprofit is to make up that difference. We do not receive federal block grants. Grant funding. Mm. So our largest source of income comes from individual donors and grants, and then local corporate sponsors, congregations, and other type of fundraising events that we might have throughout the year.
Great. And I know you have one, it's on my calendar, you have one in September.
September 21st. We have our Dining for Others, which is our annual fundraising event. We have one event a year where we bring together our donors and our volunteers and our friends, and we toast and celebrate all those people who make Meals on Wheels happen. Mm-hmm. We are a small nonprofit with 6 staff, but we have over 400 volunteers a year who make everything that we do possible. We would not exist without them. So it's our opportunity to come together and celebrate and raise funds for the organization.
Well, hope folks can come. And then also I was gonna ask the question later. Let me ask it now. You just mentioned your volunteers. So you have 400 volunteers. Alicia and I are volunteers as well. I haven't been as active lately. I was super active during the pandemic. And
I think I talk too fast. And I don't know if they use me a lot.
You don't talk. Well, explain to our listeners now, what does that mean, you talk too fast?
Because I need to take more time when I go inside the home and say more of how are you doing and spend a little time. But because there's so much, so many people that needs it, I have to get out and go to the next person.
Right, so it's a challenge.
It is.
A balance,
it
right?
Is.
And it's actually, it's a great point, Alicia. I love that. It's the balance that exists in our mission. So we talk about to nourish and enrich the lives of older adults through meal delivery and personal connection. Mm-hmm. Now, meal delivery gets all the attention because it's in the name. And of course, as all the funding goes towards being able to create and deliver nutritious meals to our recipients. But of equal and sometimes of more importance is the social isolation and loneliness. For many of those people that we're serving, the volunteer who shows up at their door Monday through Friday is the only other human being they might have contact with that day. So it's a very short amount of time, but it's incredibly important.
It's
so
important. Mm-hmm.
Even
it's
if that
important.
Conversation is short, they get to have the conversation.
It's, yeah.
It's a reason to get out of bed in the morning.
Right.
It's a reason
Someone's
to get dressed.
Yeah.
It's a reason to shower. It's like those activities of daily living are really important. And for older adults who are retired and don't have other people in their life, it really sets a structure for their day. So there's so much more that you get from a Meals on Wheels program beyond the meal itself.
Well, sticking with volunteers, and be prepared for this softball that I'm sending over to you. So Alicia and I represent two different kinds of volunteers. So Alicia was a driver, is a driver, goes in and delivers food and has conversation. I was one of your pandemic volunteers that did phone call check-ins, but you have here's your softball.
You
have other kind of volunteers. I could think of two other types of volunteers. If you forget, I'll just speak for you.
But, Thank you. So
tell us about the different ways, since I think this will be really exciting. And anyone who's listening, if you want to volunteer, it's so meaningful.
I got so much
out of it. All right, so there's drivers, and then there's phone call check-in folks.
Yes, and we also have setup crews every morning. So we have 4 to 5 volunteers, both in our Hillsborough office and in our Chapel Hill office, that do all the setup, make sure everything is prepared correctly, and then puts everything in the cars for the drivers to go. We also have volunteers who do our phone calling service. We have volunteers who help sort food because we should do shelf-stable bag distribution. We have volunteers who do our bagel pickups because Brandwine's Bagels donates bagels to us once a week, and then we repackage them and distribute them out to our recipients. So we have volunteers who do that. Volunteers serve on our board and on our committees. We have volunteers who help run our pet program. That's an aspect of serving the social isolation and loneliness component, is that Meals on Wheels delivers human food, but Meals on Wheels will also deliver pet food if you need it.
Yeah.
And there's two very important reasons that we do that. Number one, this ties in with Amanda, that every bite counts. So if you have trouble having access to food or the ability to prepare it, you might likely have that same access issue for your pet. Your pet is your beloved companion, especially if you are alone. It plays a big role in both your physical and mental health. And so we want to make sure every bite of the meal we deliver is actually going to the recipient and is not being shared with the pet, which is what happens more often than when
sure
you think. So if they have a need, we will deliver pet food to you, as well as pet supplies to help keep that pet healthy in the home. We also have just started offering vet care, so we can make sure to extend the longevity and health of the pet. And the second reason we do that, which I already mentioned, is just the incredible impact that pets have on the mental and physical health of those people that we serve. it's very hard sometimes. A great example is we do surveys, and sometimes people respond and sometimes people don't. But if you ask people to talk to them about your pet, you can be in that house for about an hour talking about
the wonderful. There's pictures of my cats. There we go.
See, it's for everybody.
Not my children, but my phone. Rachel knows I have two beautiful daughters. But no, my iPhone screen page are my kittens, my pandemic kittens.
I'll just add to that. You know, I mean, as someone who has two basset hounds and loves dogs, loves them, we partnered with the NC State Vet School several years ago to put together a cookbook that you could use using SNAP benefits that would be safe for elders to prepare and share with their dogs.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. There's like Rachel Ray. She and had that whole dog thing. Oh, my God.
So we made sure they were less than $1 a meal and that they were safe for dogs. And we gave the serving size for the elders and the serving size for the dogs. I'll share that if you want to.
Oh, so cool. All right. Real quick, because there was one other volunteer activity that you didn't mention because I did it only once and now I feel guilty I didn't do it more, which is volunteer bakers.
Oh, yes. I can't believe I didn't mention that.
And you send recipes out. Folks should join your, well, make sure in a second we'll do your website, because when you get a newsletter, you send recipes and then you take it away. You need bakers.
Yes, my volunteer coordinator would not forgive me if I did not mention that.
I have Heather's back.
Always need bakers. What's also funny is that bakers, I mean, the baked good, our goal is to deliver a home baked good with every meal delivered, and we will deliver a regular baked good and also a sugar-free baked good if that is your preference. And we do that for a number of reasons. Number one, because it's home baked, it's a little bit of extra love in your food. It also connects a lot of local people to what we do because there's so many people who can volunteer and bake, including from middle to high school students on up to older adults who can do that in their home.
I did not know that. How would we get this word out? Because I knew Meals on Wheels. I didn't know the background that you can volunteer doing so many other things.
Oh, yeah.
We got to go to Walmart and ring the bell.
I know.
That's my goal.
And now I have some new baking skills and hopefully some more time with
my kid baking?
Going to school. So I've done it once, and that's not enough. So I need to do it a lot more.
I need to bake.
And the recipes are easy, right? The recipes that you put out for baking are easy.
Amazing.
Most of us have those things in our home. It's not a big expense. I want to put that out there. Heather does a nice job with the...
You can feed a lot and also just sharing that love, which is really special. Two quick things. I just mentioned your website, that you have one. Mention your website so I don't mess it up. I don't like to tell other people's websites.
So our website is MOWOCNC.org. I know that's a lot of letters, but it's Meals on Wheels, Orange County, NC. So MOWOCNC.org, and you can find all kinds of information there, as well as how to contact us either by phone or email, or you're welcome to stop by our office. We love when people come to visit us.
That's great. And then one last question for this train of thought I'm on. So we have a segment that I have not immortalized, but I call it Fun Facts and Sexy Statistics. And I know, even though I didn't prepare you for this, but I've seen you talk off the cuff. Give us a little bit of fun facts. How many people are you serving? Because I don't think you shared that yet in Orange County. Or how many meals? Basically, whatever fun fact or sexy statistics about your impact.
Ooh, fun. I love this question.
Yeah.
So I can do it for 2022 because our years go from January to December, which is how we
do
our tracking.
We're not picky here. We're not like, I'm going to need it up until today.
In 2022, we delivered 67,600 meals across the county, and that was to 454 individuals.
Wow.
And we cover Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and rural Orange County.
See, I knew you would have some fun facts. Now, Alicia, did you want to ask a question before I jump in?
No, because she's told me a lot more than I knew, and I just thought I was a driver.
This is why, Alicia, we have a radio show, so we can share this
information.
Forget anyone who's listening. It's so you and I. This is the most self-centered. What do Alicia and I?
We
should call it that show, but Alicia's show, I'll do a shout-out, starts at 3 o'clock, and it's literally called Afternoon Talk with Alicia.
Thank you.
So you do have your show where we just...
And I'm going to talk about Meals on Wheels.
There you go.
Yay, that's good.
All right, so I want to link you two in a minute, but when tell me what CJ Cupboard is, because I am wondering if there's any link. That just sounds like it's something supportive mm-hmm. of the community. So what's that, Amanda, at UNC?
Sure. So during COVID, the School of Public Health did a survey of our students and realized that nearly 10% of our students were food insecure.
Yeah.
And we decided that we needed to launch a cupboard. We're fortunate to have the university pantry, but it's not close to the School of Public Health, which is on the south side of campus.
Yeah.
And the School of Public Health is located in the center of the other health affairs schools. And there's
yes.
really not, besides a cupboard in nursing, not any other place that a student can walk in 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. and get food.
Hmm.
And so we, the Nutrition Coalition, which is the student group I'm fortunate enough to be the faculty advisor of, we decided to launch CJ's Cupboard. CJ's is named after, we were trying to kick around names, and I said, how about CJ's? And the students liked it, and they said, well, why CJ's? I said, well, how about after my grandmothers, Celeste and Josephine?
I love it.
They were both, you know, influential, and so we went with it. But we strive to not only keep shelf-stable foods, but we've planted a garden around the School of Public Health and partnered with the Edible Garden on campus so students can pick healthy foods, fresh foods as well. And then we also keep pet food on the shelf. And we try to do a lot around making sure we have foods available to those with allergies,
mm-hmm.
as well as pet food. And we also provide supplies for things like, we know students, health affairs, our students are going out into internships, so laundry detergent.
Yes.
Basic supplies like deodorant, toothbrushes, mm-hmm. toothpaste, feminine supplies,
yes.
diapers, and
mm-hmm.
baby food.
Mm.
So we've partnered with Good Bowls, which is...
Do an explanation of Good Bowls,
Good Bowls,
please.
Is started by Dr. Alice Ammerman, who's also a School of Public Health faculty member. And Good Bowls takes extra, the vegetables from the farmer's market and local farmers and puts them together into frozen meals that are healthy. And we work with them to pull all of our members together to put together those and then have them available to the students. Additionally, and also a draw, we have coffee all day long.
Oh.
So any student can walk in and get themselves a cup of coffee as long as they bring their own mug. And if you remember being in school, you remember
yes.
that caffeine matters.
Yes, it does.
Where are you located again? Where can
we are located
go?
In McGavin Greenberg Hall.
Oh, sure.
In the Department of Nutrition in 2210 McGavin Greenberg.
That's where you're located. Is that where the cupboard's located, CJ's?
It is.
Oh.
Yeah, right on the second floor in public health.
And it's 24 hours?
24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
That's great.
That's amazing. And I think, you know, I know the theme of this show is focusing on older adults and nutrition, but I think it's important to really look at food security across, I mean, there's a whole series of other topics on food security across the lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my own daughter is at college in Colorado and they have a student cupboard. And I had mixed feelings when she told me she went to it to get food. And we have the fun. I was like, well, I'll send you money for food or DoorDash. What are you doing? She goes, well, it was around Thanksgiving and they had closed all the dining halls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, she was on campus and it was closer than going to a store. So I quickly made sure I made a donation to the cupboard there, their student. So it is fascinating. You're seeing them pop up around a lot of college campuses to help with students and to make sure they are fed and nourished. And I also, a lot of other supplies that they, I did a whole Amazon of a lot of feminine products that they on their wish list. So I think it's amazing how, especially after the pandemic, which I think, or during the pandemic, which really raised awareness of people struggling at home and not having access or not being safe enough to go to a store.
And I really want us to remember our international students here. They are not eligible for some of the same loan money. And so, and they're far, far away from home. And so making sure that we have foods that are ideal for them and available and easy to access are really, it's really important. And so we have a URL where international students can go and say, I'd really like for you to buy this. And so we have such wonderful donors. We'll go to most any grocery store and get whatever it is that they would like.
And I know people donate food to the different groups around town, like Table and Porch. Do you take, and Meals on Wheels, do you take donations, not just of funds, clearly, but if people have cans of food or supplies,
yes.
do you want to?
Most definitely.
You have a microphone. Feel free to do a shout out.
Yeah, we absolutely would take your donation. You can reach out to me, and we will meet you curbside for your donation. Mm. We'd actually prefer food and not money.
That's funny. A lot of places.
Yeah, we turn food so fast. That
use the money to buy the food and donate it.
Yeah, wow. That's right. We'd rather have the food. We've turned it so quickly.
Wow, and Rachel, I think you're the opposite. You'd rather have the money than the food, correct?
Well, it's kind of a mix. So we do have groups, particularly church groups, and I'm going to give a little shout out here to Grace Church, mm-hmm. who has been a long time since COVID and has continued since then to make our shelf-stable food bags for us. Mm. They do an incredible job. I know there are other donors who participate in that process, so they make the full bags of shelf-stable food and we distribute them out. Mm-hmm. We didn't mean to become a pantry, but we became a pantry during COVID, and once you start something like that, it's really hard to stop doing something like that because you recognize the need was probably always there. We just didn't recognize it. COVID didn't make it happen. It just made the need for us to know that the need was there to happen. So we have many donors who do that for us, but for us, actually, it is the opposite. Sometimes the money for us, what we talk about it is leveraging dollars.
Yes.
Right? So sometimes for us, because we can't always necessarily turn it as quickly, because we have specific recipients that we deliver it out to, and we have specific needs that we have to meet for them. So not all food we can turn over, you know, depending on what is being donated to us. But we think of it the same way as our recipients who pay a percentage on a sliding scale, is that a dollar to us is so much more than a dollar.
Yes.
Because any dollar we can bring in towards a meal, if we couple that with nine others of our recipients who paid a dollar, then we can give somebody else a meal. Mm. So that dollar actually ends up being so much more.
And you can buy in bulk and other things. I do remember in some of the darkest days of the pandemic, and I was making these daily phone calls, and I would call and text you in panic because one of the, at least one of the folks I would call every day in the beginning, they were like, we have no other food in the house. We have nothing. So, and I was like, Rachel, what do I do? And Rachel's like, we got it. You know, there's this emergency box coming over. And also, by the way, we need toilet paper and we need, and so you also threw toilet paper in and
paper towels.
Yeah. Some other supplies. So that's really powerful. I do want to talk about, I'm proud of myself for bringing you both together here. I just randomly did it because I know Rachel does so much with Meals on Wheels, and clearly that focuses on older adults. And Amanda, you and I go back in terms of knowing about your research and your nutrition program. And I thought, well, that'd be neat for you two to come together. I had no idea you two actually work together. So whichever of you wants to start this, what do you two do together? Because I have a little hint, because you all emailed it to me, but how'd that happen? So which of you wants to start?
So Amanda and I had a connection from before we started this connection, because she had a student who did an intern project with us who actually then, when she graduated and got a job, joined our board. And so she was my resource for questions about nutrition and connection and how to rethink our menu. And then she connected me with Amanda. And so the three of us started a conversation. And to back up slightly, the sort of review of our menu is that our menu now currently meets the standards that exist in the Older Americans Act. Mm-hmm. So a third of your daily allowance. For older adults.
That's very good. That's important.
But one of the things we were recognizing is, and this isn't a movement just for us, but across the country and thinking about nutrition for older adults, is medically tailored meals or the food as medicine movement, is that how can we better serve our recipients by the food that we...
Yeah, hold on, we're writing that down. Food as medicine movement. I have not heard that. Continue, now that we both just went, and grabbed our pens. Go on.
So that is a movement that is out there in really rethinking not just nutrition, but what specifically are you giving them to actually better their specific health needs. I hope I'm explaining that as medicine here. So I reached out and said that we were thinking about how, as a small nonprofit with a limited budget, how do we enter into this space to be able to do medically tailored meals? And I connected with Amanda, and Amanda said, this would be a great project for me and some students to really work on. And then she ran with it. I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, it was great. We were thrilled to talk about this. We've talked about medically tailored meals. Obviously, the bread and butter, if you will, of a dietitian is medical nutrition therapy, which is tailoring what you eat every day to best meet your needs, to stay healthy, to run, to take care of whoever, your grandchildren, et cetera, but to also manage your chronic conditions. And so we talk about how we can increase our messaging around food as medicine and when we talk with our patients. And so we just took it and ran with it. We first had to establish what's the definition here? Who are the recipients that would be interested in this? And Rachel had worked with some nursing students at UNC to go ahead and do some screening, so we knew what were the specific meal categories that there was the folks who were getting Meals on Wheels would be interested in. You can imagine so many different chronic conditions.
I'm just thinking diabetes and congestive heart failure,
cholesterol,
heart disease.
Yeah.
Right, so diabetes, heart healthy, right, and then renal were the three that rose to the top.
And then renal is a kidney.
Kidney.
Okay, just throwing that.
Good to point that out. So then we had to take a step back and think, okay, well, if the goal is 1/3 of the needs of an elder, then we have to put our hat on to think about, well, what would be the best definition?
Like 1/3 of your daily calories.
Correct.
Intake. Okay.
Yeah, so how does that transfer over into what the definition of a medically tailored meal would be for someone who needs a heart-healthy meal? Mm-hmm. And so once we sifted through the literature and called a bunch of other places and did some interviews, and the students and I really thought through that, we set up our definitions. And then Rachel was so wonderful. She turned over her menus. We analyzed them. We went through them. And then we're so surprised and happy to find that she was already administering meals that met most of the guidelines for both people with diabetes, people with heart disease, and people who had kidney
disease. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah,
it's go girl.
I pick my friends and my personal chefs.
That's right. That's right. Look.
There were some outliers, and after we made some recommendations over some things. Instead of bananas for a renal patient, maybe do blueberries or apples. So
Kate would never have known that because those all seem healthy to me. So it's like bananas are delicious. Is potassium?
It's not potassium, right? If you have kidney failure, you're monitoring your potassium and your phosphorus and your sodium intake.
Interesting. Okay, go on. So right, the average listener, listeners, I'm making you kind of whatever, like me. Like, well, that's all the fruit. That's all good
that
and delicious. It's healthy. Okay, go on.
we went through the menus and then made some recommendations. And then Rachel's taken that back.
Right, so our hope is we just started with a new caterer. And our hope is by the end of the year, we will have this integrated. And our definitions of how we define these will be on our website. So if there's any recipients or there are medical practitioners who want to see how we define what these standards are, they'll be able to go to the website and see them. And then we'll be able to list that as being able to offer that. And our hope is we really went this path as opposed to doing separate meals, because as a small organization, the more you separate the meals, the more expensive each of those meals become.
Yeah, so it's like everybody's eating
healthy food, which hopefully should benefit everybody overall.
Yeah, that's right.
And then if there are other specifics that we need to meet, maybe we can just do those separately as opposed to having a different meal option for each of these medical needs.
So cool. And I'm thinking about, though, how folks may need to tailor it, because things I've heard, myth or whatever, that our taste buds change as we're older. And I know from my own experience, I'll overshare, certain medications that we're on will give a metallic taste or will dull taste or enhance them. And so that's where this issue of what are you reaching for on top of the meal? Salt, pepper, salsa, hot sauce. How do you kind of work with that, because I know, especially with when you're with some of my work with brain change and cognitive issues, food needs to be a little bit more flavorful to be enticing. So how do you go for that flavor but not things that would be unhealthy?
Well, that was something we really grappled with, because if you look at the American Heart Association's guidelines, you'd limit your sodium to 2,400 milligrams a day, which is, most of us eat more than that. Most Americans eat somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000
milligrams at breakfast. I'm a salty, I mean, I like a certain amount. I'm not a person that will put salt on when the food comes, but I kind of like it naturally salted, and I grab chips, and there is a little...
And as we age, you know, our taste buds do dull, and so we need intense flavors to enjoy food. And
but can't you bring that out in the vegetables or the spices? Natural
vegetables, Alicia.
Yeah, but you don't have to use the salt.
You can use an acid. I love an acid, a vinegar, a lemon.
Yes. Right.
It's that, like, my husband, who's a super healthy eater. But he is, sorry, we have these issues. Like, he'll as a condiment, he'll reach for mustard.
An acid.
As opposed to me, who'll reach for ketchup, which also has sugar and salt. And basically, you know, so there's also ways, as you say, to reach for something. And I really like lemony food, and that's something I will take from this talk. If nothing else, I need to use lemon more. But yeah, how to enhance flavor without adding in all this extra salt and sugar or fat?
Yeah, when we were evaluating the... what would be our standards for heart healthy and for renal, we knew that if we took away too much sodium, we would sacrifice flavor. And that is not to the benefit of the recipients. We want them to enjoy and taste the food. So we set our standard higher for that reason. And we know that all of the guiding organizations, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, the American Geriatric Society, would say that taking every bite that has more nutrition, even if it has a tad bit more salt, is more important in the long run than it is to not eat because you're so fearful of a little bit of salt. So we certainly were settled on middle of the road for the standard for them.
The superfood, it's the wrong word to use it. The super nutrition that a friend of mine, and you may know Angelo Mojica, and we were classmates together, and he was the first one to teach me about the power of the milkshake and the smoothie. And both my parents, with their healthcare crises, and other folks, when you can't eat, that you can actually get really delicious. It's the power of the milkshake and the power of drinking your calories. And like, I make a really good Ensure milkshake, ice cream and chocolate and Ensure, and they taught me that in rehab, and we asked about it, because like, that's another thing, how to creatively and deliciously. Now, I don't know if you're delivering medically tailored milkshakes through Meals on Wheels, because that would melt.
We don't do the milkshakes, but we do Ensure, which is something that I'll give a shout out to. So we have some of our volunteers who regularly donate that, because they know we have recipients who need it. Protein drinks like Ensure or Boost, and there are other products out there, can be quite expensive.
Very expensive.
So to go to the supermarket and get that can take a significant portion of what you have, your disposable income for food. So we collect that and distribute it out. Our recipients have to specifically request it, and then we'll deliver out 5 at a time, so they could have one a day. And we do that to make sure that we can easily distribute it to everyone who needs it. And so we have a program called Sharon Shakes, who is in memory. Is memory of a longtime amazing volunteer and community member, Sharon Bushnell, who recently passed away. And she always regularly supplied us with Ensure to make sure we never ran out. So we started a little program called Sharon Shakes.
That
people can donate funds, or they can donate the shakes to us, and then we distribute them and make sure we always have them in stock.
I love that. And I remember one of the folks that I called had a very specific kind that they wanted, and I remember going out and getting it. But so, Amanda, I didn't mean to tangent us too much, but so the ways that you have worked together, so now you are infusing your knowledge, your students, your research into what's happening on Meals on Wheels. That's so cool.
Yeah, we had a good time working together. Hopefully we'll work together more.
Are there other, for either of you, are there other community, we have a few minutes left, are there other, and this is your chance to do shout outs, other community partnerships that you have or frankly that you want to have, that would either further your work at Meals on Wheels with nourishing folks here locally, or Amanda with your work nourishing the brains of students, graduate students, and nourishing kind of the larger public health field?
I'm gonna start.
Yeah. Okay. They didn't have to think about it. They're like, "Why? Yes, we do."
We do have some really amazing community partnerships, and more we would like to build. Number one, it's been amazing to work with Amanda. We've had great opportunities working with students at Gilling School, who have worked on various student projects for us. We've also worked with OT master's students.
OT standing for?
Occupational therapy. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to use that.
Totally fine.
And who've really done amazing projects for us. As a small nonprofit, it's often hard for us to take the time to set aside to really do in-depth research and follow a project through the end. Mm-hmm. And students have been really amazing and have allowed us to take really these leaps forward, which we would not have been able to do on our own. So being able to build and continue those partnerships. And I actually, on a personal level, love those partnerships because to me, it's engaging young people mm-hmm. in issues that are affecting older adults. And this is not an issue that's going to be solved by my age alone and above, is that we need people who are coming up and engaging in these fields who are really seeing the issues related to aging and what they can do to be a part of that in our community. So I love those interactions and being able to be a part of that learning process.
Yeah, and look at all of us. I mean, we all had experiences when we were younger as teenagers and in our 20s or even younger. And so it started our pathways. And so it's our paying it forward and making sure the next pathway of students are dedicated to it. Thank you, Amanda. Your dream community partnerships?
Well, as a program director who has 80 plus students a year to complete 1,100 hours of internship each.
Ooh, wow.
Anyone in the community...
Each, sorry, because I have interns with the work that I'm doing with the Serious Illness Coalition, and they each have about a 200-hour... They have 1,100
hours each.
Ooh.
And... of course, our students do work in the hospital with hospital acute care nutrition. Okay. They work in public health departments to do public health nutrition. They work in food service operations to learn about managing large kitchens and preparing quantity food. And then they do a unique advanced experience that's tailored based off of their interests. So I would just put out a call, if you're in the nutrition world, medical world, or public health world, and a student in nutrition would be helpful to you, we would love to talk to you.
Wow.
Additionally, our students, we have the most amazing students. Every year they get better and better. I'm just impressed Aww. With all the people I get to learn with and from. And they want volunteer opportunities, and they want to give back to the community where they're living right now. So if you have someone you need a volunteer to do something, please send it our way. We'll send it out to the student group.
Oh, that's great. Okay, you each have a minute. Any other shout-outs that you wanted to do or push for something, because I want to make sure you have full microphone time, so I'll stop talking. Anything you didn't share yet that you wanted to?
One thing I will add in terms of partnerships and community is that one of the things that we feel like we've had some success at Meals on Wheels is having a low barrier to entry to access to our services. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, as we focused and looked into that, we recognized that there are certain communities where there are distinctive barriers, which are language and mm-hmm. the meals that we serve. So not being able to offer at this moment culturally tailored meals, right? So meals are so much more than food. So what that food is and what that evokes for you is just as important sometimes as the nutrition that you are getting. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to really reach out to community partners who are working in marginalized or unserved or underserved communities. And we want to partner with you because we want an entree with a trusted partner into those communities so we can determine what kind of food would be best for those older adults, what kind of needs do those older adults have, and how Meals on Wheels can serve them. Because it might not be how we serve now, but there might be things we can do that we can still service those communities who currently don't have easy access to what we do.
Oh my goodness. All right. Amanda, did you do your shout out or you're good?
I would just say that if you know an elder who isn't eating optimally or struggling to have regular access to food, for whatever reason that may be, transportation, nutrition, reach out to the Orange County Department on Aging. Malnutrition does exist, and Our elders are at risk when they are not well, and there are community resources and dietitians in the community that want to work with you.
Well, thank you so much, and let me give you that number. Hopefully folks are not driving around, but if you do want to reach out to the Orange County Department on Aging, you can call 919-968-2070. So much gratitude. Thank you, Rachel Bierman of Meals on Wheels Orange County. Thank you, Amanda Holliday from all kinds of fabulous nutrition programs over at UNC. Thank you, Alicia. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on WCOM, LP, FM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, the Aging Well Together show. And we look forward to you all to join us next week. Thank you. We'll be right back.